So we're holding here in the Neseva Precious. We saw the first two pieces, I believe it was, where he speaks about the first one about and he speaks about not being shaykh to something that is bad and so on. And and then the second piece we spoke about Shnius Larayis and so on. So I want to go back a second, dwell on something we said before, that he says before. He speaks over here about, he says, Shem lo yas odom prisha var chokra, but ma shein odom sikhli avu gashmi, but afim asecho mavdu bin dovo le dovo, alein odom sikhli le gamri she yismuch ki mavdu bin dovo le dovo. So the Maral says over here that there's the inyan of something being because we're not anoshim sichlim, so therefore we tend to be not being able to be mavdil between different things, and we might, the pashtup shot is that we might come to do averis. That's the Pasha Pshat, and that's definitely is correct, and it's definitely a reason to have Havdalah and so on. Lemaisa, there's another Knech, and I guess this is a Knech that is Shaykh Tiyan Liyoyma. If you take a look at the very first Psukim that you have in the Torah, so you have the Eretz was toyev v'voy v'choish al pnei sahoyim v'ruach al kimer chavs al pnei amoyim v'yoyim al kim yor v'yor v'yar al kim esor ki toyev v'yavdol al kim ben or ben achoishach and then v'yik al kim lor yoyim l'choishach al layla and so on and so forth. So the ratios of the Bria is there's a given Bria, there's something that is there, you have Toyu Vayu and Choshech al Pnei Tohoim. You have something injected, which is called Oyer, that's sort of injected into something that exists. And then Vayar Lakim Asor Kitoy Vayavdil Lakim Ben Oyer and Choshech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mavdil between Oyer and Choshech. Rashi explains, the very famous Rashi's, and the fact that he saw that it's not worthy for Rishoyim and Tzadikim to use, for Rishoyim to use it, it was Mavdil, and that's the Aragonas, and so on. But I'd like to be a little bit focused on the words themselves, and in themselves, on the Musig of Havdalah. The Maral speaks about Havdalah a lot, in many places. One of the Inyanim that was kind of, I guess, a common issue in his times, and I guess in our times as well, was the irvur between Klal Yisrael and Musaylam, the drinking, and he has good traits against drinking in a whole bunch of places, and the end of Ner Mitzvah as well, and the reason was people would make all sorts of parties, and they would drink, and they would drink Stamieno. I guess kosher wine was never great. I guess that hasn't changed. And the understanding of why that is, and the Maral says, people tell him, what do you think, I'm Rimei Shiksa just because I'm drinking? Don't worry. And the Maral says something insightful. He says, the problem is not, the gzeira is not because you might. Anytime you are in a situation that you've gotten close enough so that marriage is a potential, it's a type of activity that leads to marriage, then you already have that problem built in. Because the etzem havdalah of Klal Yisrael v'umus olam is the etzem what they need, and this is something which is going to anything that has a potential means you're racing Havdalah. So I want to focus a little bit, I want to zero in on this Nekuda of Havdalah. in the concept of Abdullah in what it means. The pasuk says, "Well, lehavdol bin atomei latohor." We spoke about it, I think, last time, that ein etzorach loyma between a chamor and this, but rather something that is shachat kula, not kula. If you really think about it, let's try to understand the concept of the Havdalah at its core. When you're dealing with two items that are different, one does not need to express any type of... The word Havdalah is not really appropriate. For instance, if we have dogs and cats, so dogs and cats are different. They need a definition for the person who's only seen animals. It's and he doesn't have any avchana, so there we have to tell him this is longer, shorter, these type of claws, those type of claws, etc. But betzim, they are two separate things. And it doesn't need a person as das. You don't need das to be mafdil. They're different physically. A computer could tell the difference between a cat and a dog, because it's a question just of putting in size, shape, fur, etc. So chafetzim that are different in this world, we really don't need the word havdalah. We use the word havdalah colloquially when I have two types of dogs, for instance, and I ask you, how do you distinguish between species A in dogs and species B in dogs, and then two different subspecies? Then I need to have different. I need to have different markers. But so when I have a common something that, to my senses, only they seem alike, when I awaken you, and I when I enlighten you, and I give you more details, so now, once you've learned that this type of dog has spots and this type of dog doesn't have spots, this type of dog has this type of tail, that type of tail, then I'm back again, then it's again two different chafetzim. The real musig of lehavdil is when physically they always are the same, that they're the same in every prat, and the havdalah is coming from a very different order. So the difference between two things that are like two people, and one person is a good person, one person is a bad person, one person is a tzaddik, one person is a rasha, on that the word havdalah really, really is appropriate to use, because it's a person that has a different chalois on himself. He's mitzad is physical being. It's one and the same. This is a person. This is a person. They're both equal. And the question is now to distinguish, because of a whole different factor that has no shaykhs with their physical appearance. Biologically, they're both the same, but he does toiv and he does ra. A little more nuanced is the fact that Reuven did this and Shimon does this in itself is not really enough to be mavdil. I need to also say that Reuven is mitzaref to Shimon. Reuven's activities are mitzaref to himself, and he's that type of person. Shimon's activities are mitzaref to himself, and he's that type of person. It's a very important for us, you know, to be mavdil. That's why when we say about a Yisrael and a Masoilam, we use the word lehavdil appropriately, because their mohus is different between Yisrael and Yisrael. Even though one is a tzaddik, one is a rasha, we don't use lehavdil, because the person should be, they're both the same, they're both the same chalak chayim mal, it's possible that he would do tshuva, it's possible he wouldn't do tshuva. So then we have the variations, but by and large, the Lahavdil is telling me there is a nafgemina mitzad, there is a chilik mitzad der mahus, and that chilik is on a level that is not perceivable to us. Let's give an example, I guess a physical example. When you have two pieces of meat, they both look exactly the same, they both smell the same, and so on, but one has bacteria in it, one doesn't, one has poisonous bacteria, one doesn't. That's the type of thing Abdullah, because it looks the same, it still smells the same, I don't feel any difference. It's just that one has another element to it that the other doesn't have, undetectable by physical senses, but very, very different. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into the world Eir and Choshech, the reason why Eir and Choshech to us are the most opposite of things we can imagine is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in Havdalah into Eir v'Choshech. So Eir v'Choshech are two entities that are they came into the Bria. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, there was a Bria in front of him. The nature of the Bria was Choshech v'Avayhu, it was a formless mass with no nothing chal on it that would give us distinguishing characteristics or would distinguish two things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into the Bria, the first Nekud HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into the Bria was Oyer and Choshech, and Oyer and Choshech in order to be two separate, totally separate inyanim. And the word Havdalah, Or and Choshech, are uniquely, are very distinct, and they're very distinct in a fundamental way. They're polar opposites. Almost everything else in the Bria doesn't have that sharp distinction. Dogs, different types of dogs are different, they're not opposite. A dog's a cat is not opposite. In Or and Choshech, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed an order on the Bria that has in itself very sharp, very, very sharp distinctions. Secondly, Oyer itself is the tool that creates the Havdalahs and everything else. Everything looks, the Mezes, the Rabban says that the word Erev is Miloshin Irbuf, everything is sort of melded together. Boike is Miloshin Bikores, it's when you can tell apart different parts, you can tell the different in Yanim. And when a person has Oyer, that's when he's able to distinguish between different things, things that are fairly similar, or allows us to distinguish between them. So when Chazal described to us Yavan as being Choshech, the Yavanim, and the truth is, all philosophers could only understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the context, within the circle of this world. More than that, in other words, the circle of reality was the brain. That was the circle of reality. Anything that makes sense to the brain and seems to us to be kind of anything that the brain can cope with and organize and be mishtalad on is reality. That's emes. Anything out of it just doesn't exist. So they took the I actually read a review recently. Somebody came out with a book. I mean, it's a very academic book. The person's name is Cornelius Frankel, Frankel. The book costs like $99, and it's a review of religious philosophy, meaning philosophers of different religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The people in Judaism that are mostly involved are people we would call the Karsim, whether it's Philo, whether it's whether it is Spinoza, and Lolin and the Rambam gets tossed in for good measure, Al-Farabi for Islam and the earlier Christians. His point was that they took religion, which ostensibly deals with phenomena out of our realm of experience, knowledge, or knowledgeability, and they put it into, translated into terms of seichel. And the normal excuse was that for Hamaynam, that's the way the story has to go. And it's very, very emes, the quote, one, two, or three of philosophers, truth cannot contradict truth. But it's just a different type of truth, and the way to understand it is to simply translate it into rational process. So what the philosophers did was they made a very clear axiom. They started a very clear axiom. There are no this and the other. There's only one reality. The reality is the great circle that the brain has is the circle of reality. Anything outside of it is not real, doesn't exist. And the mela, the concept of Havdalah, doesn't exist. Let's take a simple example. How the difference... If to us, functionality and morality are two different worlds. Why am I doing you a favor? Because it'll pay back for me. You'll do me a favor back someday. That's functional. Why am I doing you a favor? Because I believe that goodness is the ultimate tachlis of a person. It's what gives a person his metzias as a ruchnistic being, and so on. So that means there are two different worlds. A world of functionality, which is subsumed totally in the bubble of the world that we have, and a world that is metaphysical. It's beyond the physical, and it has its own metzias. And I hopefully can somewhat be stimulated by Toiv and Chesed of a different world, in this world. But I can never really, really wrap my hands and mind around the word Toiv. But I recognize Lahavdil. This is Chesed, this is Cheshalemis. This is business. The biologists struggle with the altruism gene because they don't recognize that there's a music of Toiv as Toiv, because that requires a different world. Requires a bigger circle than our circle, and a circle where the seichel is not there, in where the seichel can't, has no input, and so on. Those are all. So the mele, you construct a type of toiv that falls in within seichel. More people will enjoy it, so that's morally good. More people enjoy it at a greater degree than I will enjoy it, so that's called better. But at the end of the day, it's erasing. There is no Havdalah. And what I think and feel at my best is it. And anything that can be translated into that has a metzias. And if it can't be translated into that, it doesn't have a metzias. I just remind myself that there was a fellow in the mirror. His name is Cohen. His first name, Binyamin Cohen. He's quite a bit younger than me, but his father is, I think his father was born in Germany, but he came to England at a young age. Al Kapanim, during the war years, he had a yeshiva in England, and there wasn't much going on, and there was a German bach, a Yekesh bach, that was learning yeshiva, and one day he just disappeared. He came back 6 weeks later. It dropped, just reappeared. And his father, Rabbi Cohen, asked this young man, where were you? What's happened? What's going on? He said he learned something 6 weeks ago that disturbed him greatly, and he rejected Yiddishkeit Torah based on that. And after thinking it over, he's come to realization of the emes of Torah, and he's back again. So he asked him, well, let me in on what was the Mikara. He said they learned the halacha that if you have one pillow, then you have to give it to your Eved. he said that's impossible. It's something that he has, it makes no sense whatsoever. It's absolutely senseless, and he dropped it. So I said, and what was your epiphany? What was the great moment of enlightenment? So he said, he was thinking about it, and he said, this person is not really wealthy at all, because he can only afford one pillow. He said, you spendthrift, you don't have money for two pillows, and you splurge on a slave? Suffer. And Yiddishkeit was back again good, and went in. What I thought was extraordinarily fascinating was, as a good Yekki, he basically had two or three sets of Tov and Ra, and his set of Tov and Ra was spendthrift versus economical and prudent. So all halachas had to pass through that filter. Maybe obedient and disobedient, I guess, would also be a very proper German filter. And that was it. And until he couldn't translate into those terms, the act of having to be better with my subordinates than myself was a concept that just didn't translate into any of his native language. Machine language of a good Yekki didn't have that in it, and that's why he went through this crisis. Al Kaponim, once you make a postulate that things have to go through that filter, you basically, if you had to ask yourself which set of concepts becomes alien to you, the answer would be Havdalah. You cannot be Mavdal. Everything is made of atoms. Everything, all values, everything is part and parcel of one system. That's all that exists. And the Mela, the music of being Mavdal between Oyer and Choshech, Yisrael and Amim, those were things that were very, very alien, and the Mela didn't happen. It's something where, if you think about it, let's look a little bit into the music of Bris Mila and why it was such a point of contention. Let's give an example. Things that are broken, chipped, broken in any way damaged, are inferior. Our sense of perfection and beauty in this world are shlemus, and something which is somewhat broken in some way is lacking in it, and it is ugly. So anything that has the word broken before it is bad, ugly, whatever. Imagine the following. Imagine that someone were to make a memorial to, let's say, I don't know, the Civil War, and the memorial would be a mighty tree and broken in half, or a building half gutted, half destroyed, like when a bomb guts it. So one would make the following observation. As a building or as a tree, this is ugly. As a depiction of what happened, this is awesome. Again, assuming, well, I assume some people with autistic bent will have nicer mishalim, but upon the idea would be that in terms, because this is not meant to be a building, it's meant to be an understanding of how a house was divided against itself, that, in terms of that, this is the most extraordinary depiction, and it brings home the message, and as such, there is great aesthetic value to it, a great value of beauty to it. The human body, we tend to think of it as being perfect. And the Bris Mila does not contest it. It doesn't contest the fact that the human body, as it is with the Arla and all, is shleimus, the Kirchbach, not create junk. So if a person is born with an Arla, so the Arla is part of the Gufada. What Bris Mila tells me is that Guf HaAdam itself is shleimus, is beshleimus only when it gives way to some sort of ruchnistic entity. That's where it becomes davashalim. And if it's not giving way to that, then a grubber body that doesn't have anything etched into it is not beautiful because it's pure body. The body itself is not beautiful when you compare it to a body with a neshama. So for people whose only circle of value is the guf, then it's something that it's limited to that, and that's it. And for that, mila, bris mila, becomes a disfigurement. And that's why the people of Misyavdim went to all ends to reconstitute the Arla. It was very painful. It was very difficult surgery, very painful. And they did it because that's a shleimus haguf, they're right. But we understand that the guf has to make way for something else. And that's the shleimus of the guf, when it makes way for something else. I was speaking actually at my 2 years ago, I said a hesped in for my brother-in-law. I happened to be in Atlanta, and I was speaking there in the Ariel Shul, and it's a kind of Kirov enterprise, very very wonderful place. But the people, you know, I got up to give a hesped, flipped around. The people had never heard of Rav Zvi, never heard of Yeshiva, never heard of learning. But, you know, they were all from different stages, but there wasn't very much I could tell them that in any way would be meaningful. And so I spoke about sort of, I put them in Reb Nosson's shoes in terms of what would have appeared to an American walking yeshiva the first time, and what would he notice, and what excited him, and so on. But then I spoke about his final years, his final decades, and I said, there's a chazal that says that when people see a new ship being sent off on its maiden voyage, they're big partying, and, you know, they see it off with a big hurrah. And when a ship limps home after its final voyage, they don't, nobody cares, nobody notices it, and, you know, go straight to the junkyard. But people are very stupid, because a ship going off the maiden voyage, we don't know what its future is. A ship limping home after having carried so much cargo and people and done so much is worthy of admiration. So I said, you know, the Goyesha view of beauty is that if somebody at 80 looks like he never worked a day in his life, had no care, or better said, cared about nobody, no deep thoughts that furrowed his brow, that he hadn't used a single element of his self in this world, is beautiful. We kind of think that it's terribly ugly that somebody at 80 looks like he hasn't done anything. When somebody's brow is furrowed in thought and it's creased, when somebody's hands are gnarled because he's been working for someone, for something, when he's carried heavy loads on his shoulders and he's worried about children and people and community, the wearing out of himself for accomplishing is how we perceive beauty. In other words, if you're looking for beauty minei ubei, then shleimus haguf is beauty. When you're looking for beauty in translating guf into nefesh, then you have a very very different perspective of it. And that was the sharp distinction. Once Yevonim tried to erase the Havdalah, the Mela, they were the most upset about the Havdalah between Yisrael and Amim. And that's where you had Misyavdim, where the phenomenon of Yavdim wasn't, Misyavdim wasn't even a Yevani invention. We were Nichshol, and we became Misyavdim, meaning we're the same. It just, each person has different you know, different ways of worshiping the same God, and they are all equally valid, and everything is equally good, and everything is equally fine. Just different colors, the same dog, just different colors. The spots don't indicate any difference in morals. Just, you know, some dogs have spots this way, some the other way. That was the premise of their society, and it's something which goes at the core of everything they understood for, in terms of the big circle is seichel, and if the seichel is the big circle, it encompasses all human beings. We all have fairly common seichel. There's not going to be any differences that we can say this is completely different. It's like an Abdullah, and therefore we're going to have a problem of we're going to be misyapid. The problem of Klal Yisrael's boundaries with Ummus Olam disintegrating. Before Yavan, we had Ummus Olam try to they tried to destroy us. We were tempted by the treifa food by Achashverosh, so we went to the party. We didn't become a mispares or a mismodai. We did what we did, and we were tempted by covet, by food, and everything, but we didn't seek to erase our peoplehood. They were distinct. Everyone understood there were distinct umos, and each umma is clearly circumscribed. And they are what they are in terms of content, in terms of where they should live. And the question is just who would win over who would lord over who would enslave who. But everyone's own identity was clear, and it's kind of mutual. With Yavam, you have an extraordinary phenomenon. It's, you know, being a Hellenist supersedes any detail, any detail of prep. The idea that people from Klal Yisrael would see themselves as being Jews second, and American, English, French first, German first, was an incredible akira of the emes of it. So in the world of Havdalah, we need to be able to draw on another. Another context of Hagdaras to give that Hagdara to us. What he's saying over here, I think, by Precious when he speaks, is that because we are not Mavdilim, because we don't naturally, we don't, Treif and Kashitas are not two separate kinds. It's just about the same thing, and it's variations in a common framework. The need to make, when a person makes those afrashes, we say that we're creating a sharp distinction. Whatever we're poorish from, we're creating that line that distinguishes it from us. You find a similar idea in Lashon Taisvis and Psachim. And Taisvis says, Rashi says that the reason why they were metakin b'digas chametz is shaliyav alochlei. Rashi says it's al spayor b'yimatzei. So Tosfos says, well, we never find it by anything else. So Tosfos says, because it's mutter all year, li b'dila minei. They're not muvdal from it, because chalasach are Jewish. You know, chaza, somebody doesn't eat it, so chaza is a part, and it stays apart, and it's two worlds, and that's that. But challahs are very Jewish, and it's very hard for me to say that on a week before Pesach, challah is the most important thing to have for Shabbos, and on Pesach, it's usur. So a person could be nitchal in it. Now, Stasis says, wherever there's no Havdalah, there is a tremendous possibility of a mikshol. So the preacher that we're talking about over here, the person seeks to create sharper lines between things that are more mutter, less mutter, usser. So by including and making a very sharp getter, of real Isra and so on, the person is being mavdal between the two. It's true in the same thing we said for like being machmir, more like so and so and so on. All of these are there to help sharpen the contrast between the tov and ra, the mitzvahs and averis and so on. Any questions? Okay.
Good. Good Shabbos. Thank you very much.
Good Shabbos. Afreilich Hanukkah. And I suppose I'll see you next week. Okay, Kol Tov.
Bye.
Bye.